Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I'm the friend in the group who gives sex advice in every friend group that I'm in. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and a porn maker, and even though it's not Virgo season, I still just have a lot of opinions about how everyone should be living their life. And this is the corner of the internet where I get to share them.
We're doing another episode today where I've drawn a bunch of questions from the sex subreddit. And each time that we've done these, I've been like, wow, it's going to take me so long to find a bunch of unusual and thought-provoking questions. And like, no, it really doesn't. Like, I go through like maybe 4 or 5 pages of results, which are like not very long pages. And I find so many things that I'm like, oh God, I really want to know what Bex would think about this.
Yeah, they're delight. I always like, I glance over the list of questions beforehand and they're all, these are delightful and they always are. I'm always like, oh, I already have so many opinions. Sometimes Ash is over and I will like read through them out loud and we will get caught up talking about the question before I can even get to the end of the list and be like, no, this will be a fun one. This is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's so much going on. The first question that I have from the sex subreddit, and by the way, I should say that all of these are like very heavily condensed and paraphrased because as per usual on Reddit, like these people have written extensive posts explaining their whole situation, but I just condensed it. Yeah. So this person says, what should I do if I notice that after sex, including orgasm for both of us, my boyfriend goes to the bathroom and jerks off / has another orgasm? And this, I like this question because I used to have a fuck buddy who would do this and I was always like really thrown by it, even though like, you know, in theory, it makes sense to me. You know, we're not always satisfied by the sex we have, but I just would find it odd when, like, either he would go to the bathroom and immediately jerk off and not mention it to me at all, or he would still be lying in bed next to me and I was, like, still catching my breath from literally we had just finished fucking, and he would just, like, jerk off until he came again without any, like, is this cool, or, like, do you mind, or, like, do you want to participate? Like, none of that. I always just found it, like... like, of course, it's his right, it's his body, but I was just like, I don't know. That feels a little odd to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I would definitely have probably a capital F feeling about that. And I think for me, the weirdness or like the complicated feelings would lie in the fact that sex for me feels like a very partnered, intimate, collective experience. And that feels like a sudden departure from that into a very private solo experience. Mm-hmm. And it is, I think the like not wanting to address it with me, that would feel weird. It would feel like you were like very sharply pulling away from this intimate connective experience. And I'd want to be like, well, what's going on there? But it's difficult because I don't want to be like, so yo, I can hear you moaning in the bathroom. Let's chat about it, because that's not the kind of conversation starter that sets someone up to be on your side. So I would probably be inclined to like either make it fairly apparent that I like maybe up for things afterwards, or like if I notice that they tend to stay hard after coming, be like, oh hey, like, you know, do you want to go again, like I'd love to see you get off again or whatever, if that's true, like, because I think there's something, I don't know, I find something really hot about someone getting off and then being so turned on by the sex they just had that they want to get off again. Like, that's fun and hot. And even if there is something about like, I don't know, my orgasms I have jerking off feel different from the ones I have during partnered sex. Sometimes I get off several times during partnered sex and have a moment of like, okay, but I need one of the ones that like I can do, that like just let me just, there's one more just in there, whatever. So like, I don't know, there's something hot about someone doing that themselves afterwards. But I think there is a conversation to be had about kind of connecting And, like, I don't know, at least looping you into that experience rather than just suddenly doing it on your own, you know?
Yeah, I feel about this kind of the way that I feel about, like, that friend who's constantly inviting you to parties that, like, maybe you don't really want to go to the parties, but, like, it's sad to not be invited anymore. Like, I would like to be invited to participate if my partner is wanting to continue doing stuff after I feel done. But I might say no, in which case, like, I'm cool with them drinking off beside me. But, like, there's something a little bit weird to me about, like, just doing it and, like, not even making that invitation. Again, like, just because I find it a little bit odd doesn't mean that you're not allowed to do it. Like, you know, those are two different things. But it really depends on, like, whether you want to continue or not. Because, like, if you feel like you could also continue, then maybe you both, like, whip out your sex toys and, like, have a good time together. Like, maybe there is something about, like, after this boyfriend has, like, already, you know, made his partner come and then come himself, like, maybe he doesn't have the energy for, like, a full-on round two, but, you know, wants to do something. So, yeah, you could make, like, some kind of compromise offer to participate, or you could be like, I would love to watch you, or I don't know. I would definitely want to bring it up because the secrecy around it and the just, like, not talking about it is kind of suspicious to me.
Yeah, exactly. I think even just some context about, like, what this person is getting out of that and what they find hot about that,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't... I think just hearing from them why they do it and why they get off on it could alone be enough to kind of recontextualize that experience. You know, like, then suddenly hearing from them from the bathroom, if you know they do it for this particular reason that's really hot to them, suddenly getting to overhear this little private experience might be a little sexy instead of a little, like, weird and confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This question... At first, it seems like a small logistical question, and the more that I think about it, the more I'm like, this is a big philosophical sexual question, actually. The question is it worth it to tell a hookup that I didn't come? And, like, you know, there are various times that you could do that, whether it's, like, immediately after when they inevitably go, did you come? Or if it's, like, the next day, like, when you get, like, a hey, I had a good time text, and you're like, well,
hey, I had a good time, I didn't come.
But, like, I didn't really tend to tell my hookups that I did or didn't come unless they specifically asked, in which mm-hmm. case usually my answer would be like, no, but whatever, like,
yeah,
because I'm super socialized as female and didn't want to hurt their feelings, even though they kind of hurt my feelings by making no effort to pleasure me, but whatever. Part of me was just like, it's not even worth it because, like, I'm not gonna see them again based mm-hmm. on that and other things. But also part of me was like, what if it is worth it though, if I can spare their future partners this experience, or, you know, remind them that they're not the only one who exists in a sexual encounter. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's worth it to tell them?
I mean, I think it depends on your vibe with the person. I think what's, like, the question of worth it, I think the thing that we're worried about, right, is telling them that feels like a direct judgment of their skills and their, mm-hmm. like, sexual prowess, right? Like, all you're doing is sharing a fact about yourself and your experience, but... Mm-hmm. It feels like a judgment of them. It feels synonymous with saying, you're bad at sex. And being yeah. like, did you come? No, you're bad at sex. That's, sorry. Right? When more it's like, often like, no, I tend to not come when people don't, you know, without folks going down on me. Or no, I tend to, especially like in a new environment, it's hard for me to focus enough to come. Or like, you know. So I do think you can temper some of the worth it by simply saying, like, no, and why you didn't. And mm-hmm. because I think it is helpful information, even just to role model comfortably talking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they're going to learn from the, you know, oh God, this person didn't come with me. I think it's worth saying because they might follow up with, oh, especially saying in that framework, because if you say, no, I didn't come, it actually tends to take me a while to relax in a new place, and like I need someone to be going down on me for a minute for that. They might say, allow me to assist you with that. I can gladly do that for you, right?
Or they might do what some of my hookups have done and just be like, oh, well, that sucks.
Right. And then you've learned a thing about them, right?
Right.
You've learned that you're not going to learn a ton. But like, I don't know. It's still different from being like, well, no, because you were a failure at this, right? You're like, right. You didn't create the circumstances that helped me to come. Would you like to help with that? Here's some information. No? Okay. Well, I didn't think so. We've already gotten to this point. So I think it is worth it to do something like that. I don't think it's often worth it to be like, no, because I need direct pressure in this area in this way. And you know, most people need direct pressure of the clitoris to simulate. Like, you don't need to sit down into sex. You're probably tired. You've just had bad sex for however long.
Yeah. I have done that, though.
Yeah.
Occasionally, just because I genuinely feel like there's quite a high percentage of people with penises who genuinely don't know that, like, mm-hmm. the clitoris is where it's at for many folks. And if I can just, I mean, that is such basic education to give somebody. Like, that's a piece of education I don't mind giving people, because that's probably going to help a lot of folks in their future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like your suggestion of, like, kind of explaining why a little bit.
Yeah.
I also think that's a moment where you could theoretically, like, offer to get yourself off with their perhaps assistance or with them nearby. Because I think it can probably be pretty high pressure if, like, your hookup tells you that they didn't come and, like, you already did and you're pretty wiped out, like, not knowing what to do next in that moment. So, like, if I had a vibrator, I'd maybe ask to whip it out and, you know, do that myself. I don't think I would ever really have a reason to tell somebody this, like, via text in the coming days or weeks. Like, I just don't think it's really that relevant. And, you know, if somebody was, you know, doing what some people do occasionally, which is, like, asking, like, quizzing you about why you don't want to see them again, like, I might bring that up. But, like, I'd more likely just be like, I didn't really think that we had a lot of sexual chemistry or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of implies that, I think, or, like, they probably know that.
Mm-hmm. And we are, like, talking a lot about not coming as a thing that you could be, you're unsatisfied by, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Like, if you are a person who genuinely, like, a lot of people don't come easily from first time hookups, like, full stop, right? It takes a minute to get to know the person. And we talk a lot about all of the other things there are to enjoy about sex outside of just an orgasm. Mm-hmm. So if you just had great sex and the person is like, hey, did you come? And the answer is no, you can say that and talk about all of the fun you had and all of the things you enjoyed, which can be helpful in kind of expanding this person's definitions of good sex. But that's also a helpful moment to recognize that when they say, did you come, often what they're asking is, did you have a good time? Mm-hmm. So answer both parts of that question if you're going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's tricky for me because, like, I've sometimes fallen back on that to sort of, like, mask my disappointment about not coming, where I would be like, no, but, like, that's all right. I don't always need to come, which is, like, true. But often I was saying that in situations where, like, I kind of wished that I had. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be honest with yourself about whether that's something that you actually want or care about in this interaction. And, like, hopefully you'll feel able to advocate for yourself if, like, there's something else that you want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree. There's, like, that study that came out that found that, like, straight men, their, like, self-esteem and, like, view of themselves sexually is influenced by whether they can make their partners come or not, which, like, I think we basically knew, and I don't think that's a phenomenon that's limited to straight men either. But it is good to, you know, remind folks that that's not the only barometer of good sex.
For sure.
Okay, this one is interesting. This person says, my partner doesn't masturbate at all, and it makes me feel pressured to be their only source of sexual satisfaction all the time. It also makes me worry about their health. Should I raise this with them? And on the point of health, I should clarify, I guess, that like this person was wondering if it like raises your risk for prostate cancer to never come or to rarely come. And I looked into it because I was writing a reply to this person because I'm a nerd. And the research is very mixed. It's sort of like it might reduce prostate cancer, but it might also raise the chances. And it kind of depends on like your age and your overall hormone levels. And like scientists don't seem really sure about that. So on that point, don't know. But I could see it being stressful if you really feel like you're the only sexual outlet for all of your partner's desires. How would you recommend someone navigate that?
I mean, I think this is a complicated one. I'm curious how much of this is pressure that this person is putting on themselves and mm-hmm. how much of it is pressure that they're receiving from their partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because to my thinking, if this person wanted a particularly high level of sexual satisfaction, like wanted to be getting off several times a week, they've heard of masturbation. Like mm-hmm. they'd probably be turning to it, right? If I'm hearing a person's not jerking off often, my guess is they maybe don't have that hugely high of a sex drive and are satisfied with the sex they're having. Mm-hmm. If they are like pressuring and wanting more sex than this person feels comfortable providing or having with them, or however you want to put that, then I think we have a different conversation, right, about boundaries mm-hmm. and about pressure and that sort of thing. And that is a conversation to have about this person's behavior. And maybe the answer is go jerk off by yourself, or maybe the answer is, you know, be poly or be into this idea of edging, or, you know, however you want to define it. But
mm-hmm.
that's a conversation around pressure and boundaries and the way we treat our partners. Whether or not they jerk off, honestly, is kind of their own business. Mm-hmm. And like it, yeah, maybe there's health stuff involved if you want to share that as a fun fact, not like you should be doing this because, but I was listening to a podcast or read an article, and like, you know, there are tons of articles that would be like, you know, the health benefits of masturbation, right? Like,
yeah,
sure, if you think that is information that this person has not encountered in their adult life, you can share it with them. But I don't think like they're probably well equipped to make to weigh that decision for themselves. And like, they just may simply need to get off less often than you do and be less interested in masturbation. There may also be shame stuff there. There may also be discomfort. Mm-hmm. There may also be like dysphoria. I didn't jerk off a lot when I was younger. That was probably related to a lot of dysphoria that I hadn't mm-hmm. named at the time, right?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of reasons a person may not want to get off alone. And as a supportive partner, you can, like, I don't know, create space for mutual masturbation or talk about what their fantasy habits alone look like and their, like, internal sex life, even if it doesn't look like jerking off. Like, what are their fantasies? What do they enjoy? You know, what does their internal sexuality or personal sexuality look like?
Mm-hmm.
You can create space to have those conversations and maybe help them feel more comfortable exploring those things, but I don't think it's up to you to be like, you need to be playing with your dick more, my guy. I don't know what you're doing. It's, you gotta.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. I think that sex toys are a great thing here. Mm-hmm. I have known a couple of people, friends of mine, who just like didn't enjoy masturbation. Like, it just didn't really feel good for them. It didn't excite them psychologically or physically, really. And some of them were able to use sex toys to discover some of that excitement or to feel mm-hmm. like it wasn't quite them touching themselves. So, you know, we always recommend don't buy people sex toys if they've expressed zero interest in owning a sex toy. Mm-hmm. I would definitely have a conversation about that first, because as you said, there can be a whole variety of reasons why people feel that way. And, you know, it's quite possible that sex toys will not actually address the root of the reason. But, you know, something like a Fleshlight or a vibrator or whatever it is, even something cheap like a Tenga egg, I think would be potentially really helpful here. I would also, you know, if they're a person who just like didn't really grow up masturbating at all and kind of like never really made it a part of their life, mm-hmm. maybe jerking off side by side would be cool. Like, You know, because then they feel like they're with somebody, and maybe you can watch porn together and jerk off together and kind of ease into it. And then maybe they'll, you know, take those skills back into their solo sex life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, if it's not really a problem, and if it's just you feeling like it's a problem, then maybe it's not a problem. And like something I've been talking to my therapist about recently is the idea of like, just because somebody else wants to have sex with you, like, doesn't mean that you have to have sex with them, which I know sounds so obvious, but like, I sometimes feel this strong sense because of like old traumas and stuff that if other people are having a negative emotion related to a choice I made, that I have to then address and fix that choice. And it's like, no, you can actually just like let people feel how they feel about the perfectly valid choices that you made. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're adults, they can deal with it. You have to like be able to trust a partner that they can deal with it. Which I know is really hard, but yeah, I mean, their masturbation life or lack thereof is like not really your problem. Like, you can help them with it if you would like to, but like, as you said, that's kind of their shit. It's kind of like they got to make the decision about that. And you know, it doesn't need to necessarily impact you. Mm-hmm. This person is wondering if it's weird that he gets turned on and gets a boner when he gets a massage, and then he goes home and jerks off feverishly.
No, it's not weird. No.
It happens all the time, I'm sure. Like,
yeah,
a high percentage of the time, I would imagine that this happens.
Yeah, I was literally talking to someone I was making porn with like 2 days ago about making massage table, like massage porn stuff. And mm-hmm. I've seen, it's a whole genre of thing. Like, and yes, it's a horny experience. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, I have a friend who's a massage therapist who would, I feel, probably want me to give some kind of caveat here.
I'm trying to
think of what he would want me to say. But probably just like, don't be creepy. I mean, like, if I was to get turned on while getting a tattoo or something, or like getting my hair cut for some fetish reason or something, I would never say to the person like, oh, that's turning me on, or like, whoops, you're getting me hard. Like, I would, it's just so inappropriate. Like, if they're not literally a sexual service provider, you shouldn't be, you know, making them aware of it. It is okay and normal if like getting a boner in that situation makes you a little bit flustered and maybe you feel a little awkward about it or whatever, but like, don't put that on them. And try to remember that, as with like a doctor or whatever, they've seen it all basically, probably. I mean, you know, this is not probably all that scandalous to them, would be my guess. I'm not a massage therapist, but yeah, just don't be weird about it.
Yeah, I mean, practically, you have spent X amount of time relaxing, focusing on being in your body, feeling, mm-hmm. you know, experiencing touch from another person. Your, you know, your body adds all that up to sex often. Like, that is often where that leads up. Like, that is a sensual experience. And at the end of the day, we're all Pavlov's dogs. So, mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's going to happen. It's not particularly weird. But, yeah, please don't be a creep about it.
Also worth noting that, like, if you want to lean into the sexual part of that experience, you can hire a practitioner who offers erotic massage, and that would probably mm-hmm. be a better way of dealing with this than, you know, sexualizing somebody who hasn't signed up for that. I know that there are probably some people who, like, that kills the fantasy for them, because the fantasy is that it's kind of like a non-sexual interaction, in which case, like, maybe the practitioner would be willing to role play that they're, like, a, you know, non-erotic massage therapist, and you know, you get turned on and then you, like, you know, offer to do other stuff, or like maybe you can even role play that with a partner, as mm-hmm. you said, there's tons of massage porn that has like many different ideas for how to sexualize this situation and how to make a fun role play out of it.
Absolutely.
I guess you could also like think about baseball or whatever, all of that shit, if you want to try to tamp it down. But like, I don't know. I feel like I want to enjoy my massage if I'm getting a massage.
Yeah. That does remind me of a time semi-recently where I was, it just uncovered this memory that I tried, that the thought process my head gave me while trying not to get turned on or get off in a particular situation was, okay, we think about baseball. Shit, I don't know anything about baseball. Fuck. Okay, wait, no, there's other tricks.
Think about musical theater. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know why, but my brain was like, no, the only way to avoid this is baseball, and I don't know anything about baseball. I'm screwed. It's fine.
All right. The next question has a content note for vagina shaming. So, like, hey, you listening? If you have a vagina that sometimes you feel a little bit ashamed of, maybe this one might be rough for you. Or maybe not. Who knows? This person says, I'm a straight man, but I'm grossed out by vaginas. I don't like how they look, taste, or smell. Does this mean I'm gay? Will I ever be able to have a satisfying relationship with a woman?
I mean, fuck trans women, first of all. Like, problem that was solved.
That was the first comment in the thread. I did read a thread on Twitter once from a trans woman who was arguing that, like, the fact that people always jump to make that point in this type of situation is kind of, like, shitty to trans women in some ways, in the sense that, like, you know, I'm not going to try to speak for her, but I could see how that could feel sort of, like, dehumanizing to be like, well, this is obviously the option for you, and it's, like, a whole category of people, and it's kind of, like, you know, reducing them in some ways to their genitalia. But, you know, of course, trans women are not a monolith, so I'm sure that not all of them feel that way.
Right. I mean, it is, like, a partial answer and a glib answer, right? I am assuming that this person has gotten to the point of asking Reddit about this, that they have spent some time thinking about the fact if they're gay or not, right? And they're coming to the conclusion that they're straight, so I'm not going to be like, well, bad news, buddy, you're gay. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Honestly, this speaks to me as someone who has more exploring to do in a direction, and I'm not sure which one, right? You have either more to learn about your own sexuality, and or you have more to learn about what vaginas can look like in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think being squicked by vaginas is a thing that's fairly easy, particularly if we've only encountered a few or the idea of them, because there is a lot of weird social stigma around them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, I've certainly been into, I remember being a teenager and being like, I don't know, I think I might be into girls, but, like, I don't know if I could, like, have a pussy on my face. Like, right. Oh, I don't know. I can. Update, I can. Super comfortable with it.
Got over that one pretty
figured
well.
That one out real quick. But, like, so that's the thing. I'm curious not to be like, this isn't a question that could come from someone with experience. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious how much exploring this person has done, and it rings to me as a person who is going to learn more as they get out and experiment more, which is going to include doing things that you don't super enjoy and doing things that surprise you how much you do enjoy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was wondering the same thing, because I felt this way about penises before I had ever really, like, sexually interacted with one, to the point that I got kind of panicky interacting with one for the first time, IRL. And for me, it was like a tangled web of different things, like worrying about the whole, once you start stimulating a dick, you have to keep going until it comes or they'll get blue balls or whatever. Like there was a lot of like different factors like that that felt very high pressure to me. But also it kind of manifested as this feeling of like kind of disgust about dicks, which definitely went away after I had substantially more experience with dicks. This person, I would recommend, if they're open to it, like doing kind of what I did, which is like just slowly wading into those waters. Like I started with just putting my hand on the dick, and then my partner like finished himself off. And then another time I like gave him a hand job like to completion, and then like slowly worked my way up to putting my mouth on it, and then eventually having my mouth on it while he was coming. Just slowly escalating to get used to it. I think that there can be an element of just like if something's different from what you're expecting it to be in any sense, you can kind of have like a disgust reaction to that, even if like you wouldn't have necessarily found it disgusting if you'd like known what it was going to be like. It's really tough though. Like if this person has had substantial experience and they still feel this way, like I don't know. I don't really know if this person should date cis women. Like, I just feel like cis women have so much, I mean, everybody with vaginas, honestly, has, like, so much trauma about, like, societal notions about their vagina, and I kind of feel like this person should either, like, go to therapy and work on this until it's less of a problem, or should, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, don't fuck or date anybody, because that's not really fair or good. But I really worry about, like, how this person's feelings could, like, fuck somebody up, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's possible that it is just a weird sensory thing, that you just don't love vaginas. Like, that, there are people in the world for whom that exists. And I would encourage you to spend some time interrogating, like, what you don't love about them, what's weird about them, what, like, if there is answers to those whys, if you can, like, think a little bit about that, because there is a lot of, like you're talking about, there is a lot of societal stuff wrapped up in that, and I don't know, you may not have just picked this up out of nowhere. There may be something to figure out there, because there's just something complicated about picking a whole ass body part and being like, nah, they're, no, I don't love them.
There's always, you know, there is dental dams, there is flavored lube.
There's butt stuff.
Yeah, I don't think that that stuff is, like, super sustainable for, like, the entirety of a relationship. My view on, like, sexual incompatibility in general is, like, there's always going to be somebody out there who would be a good fit for you. The problem is finding them. And, like, for this person, being a straight man, my theory is that there could be people out there who, like, maybe are cis women, but, like, have a sexuality that is just, like, really not based around, like, receiving oral, or, like, maybe they're really into strap-on stuff. Maybe they're really into topping. Like, these people do exist. The problem is just, like, they're really hard to find. And I feel like in the meantime, you're going to end up, like, imposing your own limited sexual desires on somebody who's, like, really not down for that. But the best way to get what you want is to be pretty open about it. Just hopefully you're not writing on your dating profile, like, I hate vaginas, so if you want yours on my face, swipe left. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's gonna attract many folks.
At least they're up front, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if any listeners have thoughts on what this person should do. Not that they're listening to the show, but I'm just personally curious about, like, what y'all would suggest. All right, I have a couple that are, like, very specific situations, which is what Great. Reddit is, like, best for. Okay, there's a guy who there's this bi guy, and he's dating a bi woman.
Okay.
And they both have had, like, threesome fantasies, and she had this specific fantasy of wanting to see him, like, get dominated and fucked by another man.
Okay.
And she was going to just, like, jerk off while they did that. So they did that. They had that threesome. He had a good time, but, like, he was basically doing it because it was her fantasy and he wanted to make her happy. So then, kind of, like, the other side of the bargain, I don't like when people make sexual bargains, but it was that he wanted to have a threesome with her and another woman, and that was his fantasy. And he wanted to be involved. He didn't want to just watch. And kind of at the last minute, his girlfriend was like, you know, I actually think that that's going to really trigger my jealousy. I had a relationship before where, like, that contributed to it ending, was, like, my jealousy about an FFM threesome. And the boyfriend is just, like, feeling kind of like that's unfair and, like, not cool. And, like, he did the thing for her and she won't do the thing for him now. And he's, like, pissed off about it. What do you think?
I mean, all of those feelings are reasonable. I don't know what his behavior is like. That may be unreasonable.
yeah.
But, like, yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, I feel some type of way about that, right? Like, we can't expect people to perfectly predict how they're going to feel in every situation. I know I certainly can't predict how I'm going to feel through things. And yeah, it probably feels pretty shitty. So, like, it's entirely reasonable to think that this person was being totally upfront and like honest when they said, yeah, we're going to do this one threesome. And then afterwards, I'm going to do that other one. That sounds fun. That sounds great. And then a week before, they're like, oh, no, that don't sound fun no more. Oh, no. Oh, no. Like that. I can see that reality. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I can totally see how it would feel like shit to be like, we talked about a thing. And like, so like she doesn't owe you this threesome, mm-hmm. but I do think it's fair to expect to have conversations around how like you feel like you were set up to expect something different, right? Mm-hmm. How you feel a little like. I think when you sent the message over, it said that the person said they felt used or something. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I think those are all reasonable feelings to have in this situation. And I think it's reasonable to expect your partner to be sorry that you both wound up in this situation, to be willing to have conversations and maybe like, how do we unpack and address the jealousy? How do we, you know, are there things that you would be comfortable doing? Is there a version of you that one day might be comfortable with this, right? And not in a pressury sort of way, but in a like, okay, you thought you were down and you're suddenly not down. Mm-hmm. What changed and how can we, like, what does that mean? What does that look like, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of unpacking that. I do think it's fair to, like, expect her to be willing to have some of those conversations, willing to be like, no, this wasn't a bait and switch. I didn't plan this from the jump. I wasn't trying to lure you into doing a thing you didn't really want to do and then screw you over, mm-hmm. right? 'Cause it's reasonable that it can feel a little like that, even if that isn't what happened. And I think it makes sense that you want this her to be like upfront in showing that to you. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't get to be a dick about this. Like, don't throw a tantrum. She doesn't owe you sex. She doesn't owe you a perfect prediction of how she's going to feel about everything that ever happens to her. Right. That's where things get messy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I'm like really not a fan of sexual bargains unless like the bargaining is like explicitly your kink and it explicitly agreed to. There's that truism in sex ed space about like, I have to be able to trust that you will say no when you need to say no so that I can trust that your yes is a real yes. And like, I think mm-hmm. that's what this reminds me of, because I just don't think it's a good idea in general for people to agree to do sex things that they have no like or very little inherent pleasure or desire to do. Mm-hmm. Like if he didn't want to have that threesome, he shouldn't have agreed to it, I think. It's like, yeah, there's a place in a relationship certainly for sexual compromise, but like if having the threesome is going to make you so mad if you don't get like your quote-unquote payment for the threesome, like mm-hmm. don't have the threesome. You don't have to do it. Like it's really fine. I think that there can be so much resentment that comes up when we start treating sex as transactional or as like something that can be tit for tat, because it's really not like that. You know, I hear about this a lot in oral sex situations where it's like, well, if my boyfriend isn't going to go down on me, then I'm not going to go down on him. And it's like, well, if one of you really likes oral sex and the other one doesn't really care about it, then that's not really a useful comparison. Mm-hmm. Equality is not symmetry, as Tristan Termino says. So I kind of think this is a situation where you sort of just have to suck it up. Like, you can definitely communicate, like, I feel hurt that you did that. And mm-hmm. Let's talk about those feelings and figure out how we can not hurt each other like that in the future. But as you said, like, she doesn't owe you this. She's allowed to change her mind. Anybody's allowed to change their mind at any time. That's the whole thing with consent. It has to be, you know, you have to be able to take it back. And frankly, like, it's probably better that she called this out before it happened rather than it getting super unexpectedly messy while it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, in the position of the person having the first threesome, I think there is a difference between I'm having a threesome because it would be hot to do a thing that turns you on. And mm-hmm. I like the idea of you getting turned on watching this. And I like the idea of doing a thing for your pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I'm having this threesome so that you will have that other threesome for me later.
Yeah.
And it, I think the latter one is the one that gets you into a lot of trouble. Like, I think the former, if you can enjoy the pleasure of getting them off, it's still reasonable to think that, like, well, don't you approach your like, the sex our sex life similarly, and don't you also want to do the things that are fun and hot because they get me off,
right?
And because I enjoy doing them. Like, it's fair to feel a little, you know, feel some type of way if you don't feel like that energy is returned in your relationship and to want to have a conversation about it. But it's not fair to be like, I did this thing and now you're not repaying me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I earned these goodies and I'm not getting them. Like,
yeah, no. Anytime there's like obligation reduced or introduced into sex, it starts to get coercive and non-consenty potentially. So yeah. I think it's like more dangerous than a lot of people even realize, because it seems fun and sexy, sexual bargain or whatever, or can anyway, but like it just, it's not good. This is also why I don't like stuff like, if you do the dishes, I'll give you a BJ. It's like, no.
And it's like, I don't know. It's, if you're doing it because you will enjoy the other person getting off on it, then the pleasure is built in. The other person is going to get off on it, and this act in and of itself is fun.
Yeah.
If you're doing it because you're going to get this other thing later, there is some time between now and later, and like, what makes this act fun? Is it only fun retroactively after the other thing happens? Like, it's just a weird, and like, and then what happens when life happens and you don't get that repayment in the way you thought?
Yeah.
This is what happens. Anyway.
Yeah. One more question from the bowels of Reddit. This woman says, I like giving BJs, but does giving one on a first date send the wrong message, i.e. that I'm easy or that our sexual relationship will be all about the other person's pleasure?
No, I think it sends the message that you like giving blowjobs, which seems to be a true message worth giving.
Yeah, this one, I totally get where this comes from, because there is a lot of messaging about, like, you know, if you give the milk away for free, whatever, why would they buy the cow? My experience of that kind of situation is that if someone is going to take you giving them head as, like, free reign to be super sexually self-centered forever, like, that person had that in them anyway, and, like, you just discovered that trait earlier because of doing this. That's kind of how I feel about it. I also think that, like, if it does start to go down that path, you can pretty easily course correct early in the dating process by just being like, hey, I really like giving BJs. Also, I really like other stuff. Let's talk about the other stuff that I like.
Right. Like, it's so easy. I mean, sucking someone's dick on a first date does not mean you are exclusively sucking their dick on the first date. Like, you can suck their dick and then ride it, right? Like, you can suck their dick and then give them a hand job. Like, sex can constitute several acts.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. And also, while blowing someone or while texting them about it the next day, it's real easy to be like, you know, I really loved the way your cock tasted. I can't wait to feel it inside me next time. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you can very easily be like, yes, that is one of the many sex things I like to do. I think people expect to encounter a variety of sex acts if they're going to have sex with you several times. So I don't think people are going to, like, wind up under the impression that, ah, yes, the first thing you do is what you will always do to me. Like, I don't think you're running a huge risk of that. So, like, if you like giving head on the first date, I think the biggest thing you're communicating when you do that is that you like giving head on the first date, which seems like truth in advertising to me.
Yeah. I've sometimes been a little hesitant to do this because I had a sense that, like, I wasn't totally sure yet if I was attracted to them or, like, wanted to have sex with them. And I felt like, kind of felt like I wanted them to earn that beej a little bit, you know? Maybe that's toxic thinking, but, like, to me, that wasn't so much about, like, external pressures as it was about just, like, that's how I felt about it. I wanted to feel like they were going to be appreciative of it and, like we were sexually compatible enough that it was going to be a good BJ for both of us, and, you know, various other things. Mm-hmm. So like in those cases, you know, I might wait 2 or 3 dates or more. But if you feel like giving one on the first date, feel free. I mean, I really don't think you need to judge yourself, and anybody who's going to judge you for it is probably not somebody you want to be fucking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was a lot of interesting sexual conundrums. Thanks for joining.
These episodes are always my favorite.
Yeah, they're great. I have been Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. As of the day that this episode comes out, my book is out now. So
yay! You can
maybe like go to your local bookstore and see if they have it. If they do, please tweet a picture at me, either of the book on the shelf or like of you holding the book and looking cute. Or I got a selfie on Twitter the other day from someone who was like, had just been spanked with my book, and it was such a cute yes. picture. I was That's really so excited. Cute. Yeah, any and all photos of you with my book will be appreciated. I don't really want to see unsolicited dicks. That's kind of where I draw the line, but like that's my policy in general. If you want to stick your dick between the pages of my book, feel free to do that in the privacy of your home. The book is called 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do. You can find it online at 101kinkythings.com, or you can search for it in your favorite bookstore. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find my writing and information about all my workshops at bextalksex.com. I have a couple more workshops scheduled this month, including the debut of my new Impact workshop, Beautifully Bruised Booties and Other Bits. It's my first workshop with a live demo, so I'm going to be beating my partner at the end of the workshop to demonstrate all of the things I have taught over the course of it. I can't guarantee how well I will hold my attention during that process, but I will try my very hardest to be eloquent through the whole thing. And that is happening later this month. So if you go to bextalksex.com or just search Bex Caputo on Eventbrite, you can get tickets to that and any of my other workshops. You can also buy my porn. I'm extremely naked on the internet under the name Billy Lore. So you can search at Billy Lore on Twitter, and that'll find you all the links to buy my porn or to sext with me. I recently got on Sex Panther, which I've been really enjoying because I found sexting with strangers is one of the few like semi-anonymous sex things that I deeply enjoy. So that's been fun.
Nice.
Yeah. So you can find all of that there, and I've done some really cute collabs lately that you'll definitely want to check out. I have a threesome plan tomorrow. It's going to be quite fun.
Sweet.
Together we are the Dildorks. We're at patreon.com/thedildorks, so you can head there to toss a couple of bucks our way. At the $6 level, you can join our Discord server to talk with us and a bunch of other Dildorks. We have quite a few folks in there chatting now every week, and it's really fun. Like, I don't know, a lot of them are really fucking rad, and it's really great to have this little community building up. I've been enjoying it. Yeah, so
all of them are really fucking rad. Yeah, I was giving some sex toy opinions in there earlier. A bunch of people are sharing cute selfies. Yeah, it's a good time in there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have our bonus episodes at the $12 a month level, and by the time that this episode comes out, the one for October should be out, because I'm planning on editing it before then. Time travel.
Fantastic.
So that'll be good.
That's the one that has all the camp stories, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited.
Nice.
Oh, also, if you happen to be listening to this on the day that the episode comes out or the day after, we're doing a launch party for my book. Me and Bex will both be there. And so will our partners. And there's going to be live kink demos and readings from the book. And I'll sign your copy or sell you a copy. So yeah, the details for that are at 101kinkythings.com/launch. Thank you so much to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Morning. I don't know, I would be struggling with the fact that there doesn't... I'm sorry, Lightning was just trying to cram herself into the part of her cat tree that is too small for her and got all but her butt inside, like, directly in my line of sight, and then got stuck and was flailing about before she threw herself back out of it. So I just needed to address that before the rest of this, because it was just a lot in my periphery.
You know, cats have pretty boring lives. They have to spice things up somehow.
Apparently. Great. Jerking off after sex. Fantastic. here we are. Refocusing. Okay.